Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our ministry meeting. We're just going to bow with a brief word of prayer and ask the Lord's help in our coming together. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee once again. And Father, we come to Thee because of our need of Thyself. We not only come because of our need, but we come to thank Thee for all the provisions of God towards us, in not sparing Thine only Son, but delivering Him up for us all. We give thanks, Father, for all the wonderful provisions that Thou hast made for us, who are so undeserving, but Thou didst love us, and Thou didst go to the cross and died to save us. And so, Father, we look to Thee that as we read a few brief verses and seek to speak a little from them, we pray for help from heaven, that we might be able to speak well of Thy Son, and that Thy people might be encouraged and built up and edified as we consider the Scriptures together. We'd ask these things and look for Thy blessing and help in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'd like to read just a couple of verses. There's others that we're going to make reference to as we go along, but I'd like to read, please, in the Book of 1 John, chapter 2. I hesitated a little bit about reading this chapter because we had just recently been considering it in our Bible reading on Thursday nights. But in my own private reading, I was in this chapter back the latter part of May. And there's something about the latter part of one of these verses that really struck me and has been on my mind for some time. And kind of held my breath when we got to this chapter on one of our Thursday nights. I thought, if these boys take what I've got in mind to speak on, then what am I going to do? Well, they didn't really take away my thoughts, I guess, altogether. So I hope it won't seem as if we're being too repetitious, but I'd like to just notice 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to start with. I'd like to thank you very much for staying with us today as well, and trust that you'll be blessed as we open the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, or for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Maybe we'll just consider another couple of verses in this chapter. Maybe we'll read some others as well. I don't have a lot to say about a lot of these verses. So just look down, please, to verse 20. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How's that for a compliment? You know all things. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Look back, please, to the earlier part of this chapter. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now there's some other verses that we can refer to a little bit later, but that's all we'll read for the time being. What actually caught my attention as I read this 1 John chapter 2 on that day back in May. It was May 30th, actually. I kind of like to date as I read, and then I know when I read them last, and I do the same with any notes that I have when I take a little part, and it just kind of helps you to know what you spoke on and when and how long ago and so forth. But what actually struck me about this verse 15 was the latter part of it. It really kind of stirred me up, and this is what it says. It says, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. It says, if any man love the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And what struck me about that verse was I thought to myself as I considered those words, I thought, is it possible that the love of the Father is not in me? I realize that as far as unbelievers are concerned, that have never known the Father's love, maybe they don't even recognize the Father's love as He seeks by His Holy Spirit to win and woo souls to Himself through the work of Calvary's cross. The unbelieving world doesn't understand, doesn't recognize the Father's love except by the power of the Spirit of God working in their hearts. But as I read this little verse, and it says at the end of it, it says, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, it kind of caused me to search my own heart a bit. The love of the Father is not in him. What struck me was this. Is it possible that I can be so taken up with the attractions of this world, that the love of the Father is stifled as it seeks to make its mark in my life? Is that a possibility? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, yes, it is. It is possible. It's not that the love of the Father is not there, but we can be so occupied and so involved with attractions in this life that it can stifle our appreciation for the love of God within us. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that really what we want as believers? Isn't that what we long for on a day-to-day basis? As we move in and out among people in this world, that the world might see in each and every one of us something of the Father's love. This is the Father's love we're talking about here. This is not my love. This is the Father's love. The Heavenly Father's love. And oh, that we might be able to radiate that love, not only in the world, but among each one of us as believers. That's what is needed among us, is it not? Before we can see any other kind of progress and any other kind of advancement for God, is that not what's needed at the start? Is the love of God within, the Father's love. There's a hymn that we have come to love of late in recent years. And a part of the first verse goes like this. How deep the Father's love to us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son. To make a wretch is treasure. That's all I was. That's all I really am today. Just a guilty wretch. I don't deserve the goodness of God. Do you? I don't deserve His Son. I don't deserve His presence within. Do you? But God has a purpose for us. And that purpose is that the Father's love might be manifested by you and me. And it can be stifled by this world. One thing our brethren made clear in our Bible study that night, on the particular night that we dealt with this chapter, they made clear that it's not the world, the creatorial world, it's not creation itself, but it is the systems, the world systems. And I'll tell you, you all know, nobody has to be reminded, there's all kinds of systems out there, and there's all kinds of attractions because of those systems. And each and every one of us, myself included, can be taken up in one way or another with some of these systems. It could be the system of sports. I don't have any problem with sports. But when it interferes with the manifestation of the presence of God that should be radiated to those around us, when that is secondary to other activities that are a part of the system in this world, then I do have a problem with it, and we all should. Because what should be first and foremost with every one of us is a desire to manifest and to radiate the love of God within. I just noticed a few other verses that actually came to mind. I didn't really notice them, but in thinking about these two verses in 1 John 2, there was some other passages of Scripture that came into my mind. And I got thinking about these different verses, and I thought, the Scriptures give us a good number of means by which we can manifest the presence of the Father within. We read one of them actually in 1 John 2 and verse 5. I was thinking, in fact, I'm going to give you some of these means by which the Father's love is manifested. One means by which His love is manifested is by keeping His word. We'll talk about that momentarily. One of the means by which it is not manifested is by the world system. Another means by which it is manifested is by a God-given unction. We'll talk about that momentarily. Another means by which it is manifested is through our own personal responsibilities, if we fulfill our responsibilities before the Lord as we should. Another one is by self-examination. And I'm not thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Self-examination. And then the Father's love within us can be manifested by our testimony. And then it finally can be manifested by worship. Now there's other means by which the Father's love within us is manifested. But I wondered as I thought about these verses, I thought, how much do I really know about the Father's love? Oh, that we knew more of it. There's so much more that we need to know. Because it's not anything like the love that is found in the world. And a lot of it is not love at all. It's a sham. It's a fake. It's empty. There's nothing to it. But the Father's love buried itself within us the moment we were saved. And God's desire is for that love which is His to be manifested by His people. It's a responsibility on the part of every one of us. But first of all, I was thinking of this verse that we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. His love can be manifested by keeping His word. And this is what the verse says. It says, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." The thought there behind keeping His word is treasuring His word. Treasuring His word. That took me back to the early days of my salvation. Maybe it does the same with you. It should, if you're genuinely born again. Took me back to those early days, and after I was saved, I could not get enough of this book. Couldn't get enough of it. It just seemed to be that I was starving all the time for the contents of this holy, precious Word of God. You know something, brethren? I have found out that one of the reasons why there's so much of a lack in my own soul is because of the systems of this life. Things that can so easily get you occupied that even though you're starving for the truth of this book, oftentimes it is secondary when it should be primary in our life. So, the love of God within can be manifested by keeping His Word, by treasuring His Word. Do you know how to really treasure the Word of God? I think I have understood something about this in past years. The more we seek out God's truth, the more we'll treasure it. Sometimes it takes a little bit of gumption to put other things aside and find the time to read and to meditate and to study God's Word. I have to be careful when I talk about these things because I'll tell you, I don't know much about it. I'm amazed at the number of years that I've been saved and I know so little about this book. But nevertheless, the Scriptures tells us that if we treasure, if we keep His Word, it'll help us to manifest the presence of God to the outside world. One of the ways by which His love is not manifested is by this system, this world system. So much that can get in our way. So much that can take the place of occupation with God and with His holy word. I wonder sometimes how often we miss even some of the meetings because of other activities, part of the system. I remember a number of years ago, the family wanted to take my wife's folks on a trip, and we wanted to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. So we went down to Myrtle Beach. We were there for, I don't know, a week or 10 days or whatever it was. And at that time there was no assembly where we could meet on the Lord's Day morning and throughout the Lord's Day. And we could see right away that this was becoming a real concern, especially to my wife's parents. Because, as you know, Mr. Markle, he certainly would want to be able to remember the Lord on the Lord's Day. And it seemed that with some of the folks it would be nice, but, you know, no assembly around, so maybe we won't be able to. And we could see that he wasn't too pleased about that. So my wife and I talked about it, and we said, we're going to fix this. There was all kinds of things that could have taken our attention down where we were. All kinds of attractions, all kinds of things to do, all kinds of places to go. We could have filled up that day without any effort at all. But it's all a part of the system. And it would have brought no glory to God whatsoever. So we made a few inquiries and we found out that the nearest assembly that we knew of, that we could go to, was about 5.5 hours away. So we talked to Grant. We said, Grant, this is the situation. What do you want to do? We want to take you if you want to go. He says, I'll go. So we went. And you know, that was one of the most wonderful Lord's days in my memory. We enjoyed it so much. Took a little bit of effort. Took a little bit of driving. Both coming and going, we actually had to stay overnight. But you know, it just seemed like God was given His place and He just seemed to bless us for it. I'm not sure what we would have done had it not been for our folks, our parents, my wife's parents. But we went and we were so glad that we did. I wonder what we would have missed. We would have missed so much had we not gone. You know, brethren, when we miss meetings, when we miss Thursday night meeting, when we miss the Lord's Day, when we miss the gospel meeting, you know, we miss a lot. We do. We miss a lot. I don't go to a meeting but what I feel blessed and refreshed, whether it's the gospel or the Lord's Supper or the Thursday night meeting or whatever meeting it is. I realize there are some of us, some that are, they have disabilities and not as well as they used to be, and it takes a lot of effort to get out even Sunday morning. We fully understand that, and the Lord understands that. But brethren, if we can make it, we'll be blessed by it. God has promised us that. He'll bless us for being here. I'm just going to skip over a couple of these points because I'm not going to get through to them and there's no sense in trying. But there is a verse in James chapter 4 and verse 8 and it says this. It says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. How's that for a promise? Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You know what that is? That's personal responsibility. And it takes a little bit of, I guess I used the word gumption a few minutes ago. It takes a little bit of initiative because of so much to interfere with our lives. We take the initiative and use a little bit of gumption and take a little bit of responsibility to seek out God every day of our life. I think the best time is in the morning. The earlier the better. And it sets you up for the whole day. You know what will happen? As a result, the love of God within will radiate itself to those that you'd like to see saved. You ever stop to consider why it is that some people will say, what's with you anyway? You're different. You're not like the rest of us. How come? We've spent the last 20 minutes explaining how come. It's because there is an unseen holy presence in the lives of every believer. But God doesn't want us to be selfish with it. He wants the world to know. And He wants it to be spread and radiated among His people as well. Another means by which we can manifest the Father's love is by self-examination. One of the most common verses that we refer to for that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. But here's another one that it doesn't hurt to examine ourselves by as often as is necessary. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And it never does any of us any harm. You know what it says? It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Never hurts to go back and retrace that wonderful memory. If you don't have anything in the memory bank as to what happened when you were saved, maybe there's nothing there. Maybe you need God's salvation. Maybe you need to know our Savior as yours. It's such a treat from time to time to be here in the audience and to listen. Sometimes it's a younger brother, sometimes it's an older brother, and they'll come up and they'll tell a little story. You know what the story was? It's how God saved. I love to tell it. In fact, I've told it so often here that I hesitate because I don't want you to get bored with it. I guess you probably wouldn't. But it's a wonderful thing to have a story in your life as to how God saved you. What happened the first moment when that unseen holy presence took up its residence in your life. We manifest that presence by our testimony, by the way we live. And we manifest it as we worship on the Lord's Day morning. There's other verses that we could speak about. Time is gone, it's time to quit. But I just trust that these few simple thoughts will find its way into our hearts. Because if we have a love for the attractions of that system out there, I know we have to live in this world. We have to live here. And we have to make the best of it. That's all true. But as believers, it should be secondary in our life. And the Lord Jesus Christ and His holy presence should be the primary part. Every day shall we pray. Our Father, we come to Thee today and we give thanks again for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Thee, Father, for each one that is gathered here today. If there's any that are without a Savior, our Father, that they might come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Thy people that each one will be edified, not by the speaker, but by what has been spoken and what has been read from the Holy Scriptures. We commend us to Thee. We pray for Thy blessing upon the Sunday school. And we pray for Thy blessing upon the gospel this evening. We ask Thee to part us with Thy blessing as well. We commend us to Thee and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.